Well, we had perfect timing for our guest that we have this morning on the who we have on the show this morning. We had lots of snow this weekend, and what a great time to talk about snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. Larry Mueller here with my guest Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. He's also an avid winter sportsman, and he makes snowshoes. And I hope you'll go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Look under visitor posts, because he's posted a great photo of the snowshoes you're working on.
Yeah, those are pre-varnished. Those are just laced. So yeah, they're still got to varnish them.
Yeah, they're beautiful. If you have a question about snowshoeing or skiing or repairing those snowshoes, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a suggestion about a place to go skiing, cross-country skiing or snowshoeing. Love to hear from you. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. Yeah, I love those photos. How long does it take to... That lacing is really...
It's pretty fine, yeah. It takes me two 44-minute shows on to do a tail or a tip, and then about three to do the center footbed. So yeah. So my wife knits, and I lace. So.
Oh, man. How'd you get involved in that?
Oh, I don't remember. okay. So, yeah, my wife was pregnant with our first child, so this is 29 years ago. And we were stuck in an efficiency apartment. We were both poor students. And I mm-hmm. said, we need to get out of town. And mm-hmm. I looked online, and I didn't look online. There was no online.
No.
Where did I find this? I found Mosquito Hill Nature Center up in just outside of Appleton. Mm-hmm. Had a snowshoe building class. I thought, I've never done that before. Let's try that and get out of town. So it was a date.
Oh.
2 or 3 months before our daughter was born. It was our last chance to do something before we were...
Yeah.
Saddled, so to speak, with an infant, and then it just kind of got worse.
And so you've been doing it ever since. So 29 years under your belt.
Yeah, the pair on top of that picture is pair 60. Yeah. So.
Wow. Yeah, pair 60.
Pair 60. Yeah, I actually have a little wood burner pyrography set, and I number and sign all of them. So.
Oh, that is really, really they're really cool. You know, they look so beautiful. You almost don't want to use them.
No. They're for using. They work great. They float way better than modern shoes, but they're not as good in ice or crust. So it's kind of a balance. If it's really powdery and deep, those are great. If it's, consolidated a little bit and you're on trails, then the modern shoes work great.
Yeah. Did you get out this weekend?
No. Sadly, I had a rehearsal on Saturday for a church musical, uh-huh. and then Sunday was the church musical. So,
So you didn't get out, but I hope a few people got out. Are the trails going now? I mean, they're
yeah. My wife is the one who keeps track of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you need 5 inches of snow to groom for cross country. So mm-hmm. they've groomed most of the golf courses around here. So those are good to go for skiing. For snowshoeing, we could use just a little bit more. We got about 8 inches, I think. We're going to get more next week, so we are all praying for snow.
Well, I play golf in the summer, and mm-hmm. so it's fun to just go back to some of those same courses in the wintertime and cross-country ski.
Yeah, you might want some different colored golf balls if you're going to play this time of year. I've seen people do it. They use these orange fluorescent balls.
There's even a winter golf tournament on Lake Kiwabisa, I believe. Mm. I think right around New Year's to start the new year.
That sounds miserable.
You do it on the lake. You gotta have a frozen lake. Oh my goodness me! Well, why do you? I kind of like it just to get outside and for the exercise. Why do you like snowshoeing, cross country skiing?
Not a lot of good reasons. So skiing is great for putting on miles. For putting on some miles if you're either touring or just going out and getting some exercise. A little more aerobic exercise. However, I like taking pictures. So mm-hmm. I'm a photographer. So skiing with a camera, if you see something, it's hard to stop and, mm-hmm. Get your poles, get situated, because, if you're on any sort of incline, you'll slide one way or the other. with snowshoeing, it's just a nice walk in the woods. So you do get a nice workout, though, because you're, you know, putting 2 or 3 pounds on each foot and lifting it up and walking in something with some resistance. So it's kind of like doing the elliptical. It's very joint friendly. You know, you got that cushion. So, you know, you don't even know you're really getting exercise until you take your pulse. And it's like, hey, I'm about 130. That's great, you know.
You know, the first time I got on snowshoes, I was amazed. I mean, there wasn't really anything much to learn.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy.
The two-stage process to learning how to snowshoe is you put them on, and then the second stage is to walk. Yeah, it doesn't require a lot of skill. Doesn't require any skill. If you can walk, you can snowshoe.
Yeah, I love it. Talk about that. Now, you make these traditional, beautiful snowshoes, and you're talking kind of about the difference mm-hmm. between them, but can you talk about the both styles and a bit more, and for those who want to go with sort of the new high-tech types, what they're like? And
so the new high-tech types are really good for a lot of things. They're really good for traction. Especially in, like I said, snow, it's been a little more consolidated, or in freeze thaw. So people who like to walk their dogs, or, you know, walk on compacted snow, or steep hills. So if you go out to Indian Lake or someplace like that for mm-hmm. a snowshoe, there's some pretty wicked hills there. So,
yeah. So
the modern shoes have a metal frame, usually aluminum, with a plastic, decking that provides the flotation. And then the binding is, has a crampon on the bottom, a claw. So if you're walking up a steep hill, you get that bite. Traditional shoes don't have that. The traction comes from the interaction with the snow and the lacing. So if you're walking up a steep hill that's pretty compacted, you're going to have trouble. But for deep snow, that's where the traditional shoes really shine, because they float. So, I mean, the ones that I'm making are 11 by 66, so they're big.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you step into powdery snow with a traditional or non-traditional, you know, a new age kind of new style snowshoe, you're going to sink down a little bit farther. So it just depends on the snow conditions, but both have their place.
Yeah. And in some places in northern Wisconsin, let's say the UP area, where you do get a lot of snow.
Right. Yeah, those trads work really good.
I was thinking about it this weekend because the snow, at least the snow in our area, was light. It was easy to shovel. It was powdery.
Yep.
And I thought, boy, if you had 3 or 4 feet of that, you'd want the old style.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I've shipped these all over the country. And I shipped a pair to a friend of mine who lives in Park City. And he said, I can't go up the steep hills, but if I'm up, you know, and I want to walk around like on, you know, places with a lot of snow. He said, I'm doing great, and people are following my tracks, trying to, you know, trying to draft on me a little bit.
Oh, man. Darren Bush, our guest today, talking with him about these winter silent sports. And it's fun to talk about cross-country skiing and snowshoeing, and we'll do both. Questions, comments, experiences to share. Maybe you've got a snowshoe that needs a little repair work. Maybe you got a question about skis. Do you wax skis? Do you have waxless? What? Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Where do you like to go when you go snowshoeing?
You know, it's funny. Whatever's most convenient. Mm-hmm. I often go to the Arboretum because I live really close to the Arboretum. Mm-hmm. You just have to walk off to the side. You don't want to, you know, ruin it for the cross-country skiers. But that's a nice place to go. The Governor Dodge is a wonderful place to snowshoe because they have trails that are dedicated for snowshoeing. So you have ski trails and snowshoe trails. So that's a great place.
And I think the county or the state parks around the state actually have...
Yeah, quite a few of them do. Yeah, and the county parks as well. I go to Stevens County Park down south of Mount Vernon sometimes. Not that often used. Big wide open spaces. It's used by horse packers a lot in the summer. They've got parking lots for horse trailers mm-hmm. and stuff. But in the winter, I've only seen one other person out there once. And it's close.
Ice Age, close to Madison.
Yeah, Ice Age Trail as well is really good. Then Blue Mounds it depends. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of skiing there. And you don't, mm-hmm. again, like, trying to be respectful and not walk on the ski trails. That's kind of snowshoe etiquette 101.
Let's go to David in Annawa for a call. David, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I'd just like to make a point that I use my fat tire bike. It's a Surly with almost a 5-inch wide footprint on the tires. I use it on my farm all the time to get around in snow like this. And it's really, it's like a dream, on especially on the cow lanes where there's a little bit of compaction. But then if I have to get into loose snow, it's a bit of a struggle, but I can still get through. And I just like to quick ask, I'm hoping to get a dog soon. And I'm wondering if you've ever come across anybody who maybe a dog that wasn't able to keep up with them in the snow like this, and if I should worry about, you know, picking the right kind of breed or something to keep up with me in the snow.
Hmm. Sure. Good question. I have a Great Pyrenees. Alice has no problem keeping up with us. But what you'll find is most dogs that are medium-sized, you know, border collies and labs and such are fine. They'll walk in your tracks because they're smarter than we are. Mm-hmm. They'll go out and bound around and have fun. But when they really want to go along, they'll walk behind you.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Have you ever, and Huskies obviously would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sled dogs, all those guys, they're fine. There is something with paws sometimes. Alice has these feathery paws, so you have to keep the hair trimmed pretty close. She gets these, we call them ice poops, these big balls of ice.
Yeah.
And under their pads, and it gets kind of sore. So keep the hair trimmed. There's booties you can get for them. A lot of dogs don't like the booties, the mushers use them. But there's also something called Musher's Secret, which is a wax component. It's got some lanolin in it, I think, that you can rub on your dog's paws, and it provides a protective barrier.
Oh, so that's, yeah, at least for a trip out. I mean, it's going to wear off.
Lasts a good day.
It will? Yeah. Oh.
A lot of people put them on their dogs before they walk them, because even in the city with salt, and it irritates their pads.
Sure.
But yeah, you just put it in your hand, rub it like until it gets warm, then just rub it into their paws, and after a while they get used to it and just pick their paw up, and they're ready to go.
Maxine and Marinette, we'll go to you next. Hi, Maxine. Thanks for calling.
Well, good morning. Thank you. Years ago, I made my own snowshoes. I went to one of those wonderful classes way up north.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful, but I have never used them, but I never varnished them. So I am wondering if I am going to still be able to varnish them and use them, even though it's been 20-plus years ago that I actually made them.
No problem at all. You're probably up at Treehaven or someplace like that. They have classes up there. It's not a problem. And I'll tell you.
What kind of varnish? Is there a particular kind of varnish? Or?
Yes. Yeah. So I use the most high-quality spar varnish you can get, which means you don't usually get it at the hardware store. You have to go to a marine supply or get it online. But most marinas have it. There's several brands. Epiphanes is one. I use Pettit, which is the house brand from West Marine. It's very, very good. Pettit, Pettit. And you can get it from
West Marine?
West Marine has it, yeah. And it's not cheap. I mean, it's like $40 for a quart, but that'll do a couple pairs. But the way I look at it is you can buy $20 varnish or you can buy $40 varnish, and what's your time worth? And the higher the urethane content, the better the varnish, because that's what allows it to be flexible and not flake. So I only use the good stuff.
And about how many coats?
As many as you want to do. Two is kind of the minimum. Three is ideal. The first coat you really want to soak in and really get into the laces and get it so it gets in there and penetrates. And then don't wait too long, maybe a day or two, to do the second and third coat, because the varnish actually has a chemical bond with the second coat. If you wait too long, it won't do that. So, yeah, 2-3 coats over 2 or 3 days will do it, and you don't need to revarnish them unless you do. If you walk on, you know, asphalt, cheat, you know, try and cross the street real quick, or walk in really sharp, jaggedy, icy, crystally snow, you'll start to wear the varnish down, but it's really easy to pop another coat on.
And once I finish those two coats, how long before I can use them?
As soon as they're dry.
Yeah, but you do three coats.
I do, yeah. I mean, you can get by with two, but two to three, and then just wait a day until they're dry, and then you're good. Yeah, it's soft. It's soft.
Sure.
But give it a couple days.
Well, wonderful. I can hardly wait to use them.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, Maxine. Appreciate the call. Darren Bush, our guest today. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer. I'm Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network. Want to thank everybody who contributed during our year-end membership drive. More than 2,000 listeners pledged, including more than 400 new members. You donated more than $300,000. Thank you so much. Because of your support, WPR programs are going to be having a strong start into 2017. Larry Mueller here visiting with Darren Bush about winter sports activities. Darren is the owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, and it's always fun to have him stop by with comments about in the summertime. We talk a lot about canoeing and kayaking, and in the winter we talk about all those good things like snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. Sue in Fall River has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Sue. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
What can we do for you today?
Well, I was wondering, I have a pair of cross-country skis that are waxless. I bought them a couple years ago, and unfortunately I haven't been able to use them very much. And I'm wondering if I could take them someplace or where you could recommend where I could probably have them prepped or do I waxed. I'm just not sure what to do with them, and I'd like to use them.
Sure. Well, good. A couple things you can do. First is you can just take them to a local ski shop, sporting goods shop, and they'll clean them and wax them for you. A lot of this stuff you can do yourself. There are several products where you can just basically clean the base of the skis and wipe them down, and then some Glide wax on the tips and tails.
Oh, okay.
You know, just because they're waxless skis doesn't mean you shouldn't wax the parts that glide. So you can't rub it on like, you know, those old shoe sneaker white things. It's kind of like that. It's got a dauber, and you just rub it on and then wipe it.
Okay. Oh, great.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Ann in Delafield. Ann, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
Well, this sparked my interest. I was looking for a gift for my husband for Christmas, and he's an avid trail walker with our two Goldens.
Oh, perfect.
At Neshota Park in Neshota, Wisconsin. Great park, by the way. And there's a lot of cross-country skiing there and winter trails, and I'm thinking it would be a good idea to get him a pair to do this in the winter. And I'm just wondering, I'm looking on your website, Rutabaga's website, and I'm wondering if you could suggest a series here for him, a starting series.
Okay. It depends on the weight. How much does he weigh, roughly? She gone?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
How much does he weigh, roughly?
He's under 200 pounds.
Okay, so he's pretty much generic. That's good. Yeah, so basically it would just be what size. So the Crescent Moons are, there's a silver and a gold series. The gold series is the gold standard. They're very, very nice. They have a really nice binding on them. It's kind of a cool story.
Okay, I see those here, the 10, 12, and 13. The 10 and the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're actually made by a company out in Boulder. They're made in the States. It's kind of cool. And they're solar-powered, and they recycle 99% of their scrap. And it's kind of a cool story. The other pair, Northern Lights, are made in Wisconsin, actually, up north. And little simpler. Little simpler, a little different binding on them, but super, super light. People really like those a lot. A little less expensive, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so either the Northern Lights or the Crescent Moon.
Well, those are my two favorites. We have Atlas as well. I don't like to say this out loud, but I'll say it out loud. I like stuff made in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Atlas
is not
made in the U.S. They're very good shoes. We sell them. People like them. But if I had a choice, they're just...
Yeah.
Stepping away from my ownership role, I'll just tell you, I like things made in the U.S., so there you go.
Okay. All right.
And what's and length in terms of length? Are there just a standard length? Or
There are different size decks. So it's the best thing to do is actually call the shop. There's people there that can walk you through the different sizes and such. They'll get more information directly and help you choose a pair.
All right.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have a couple of Facebook and email things. We've got Pat in La Crosse says she has a pair of traditional wood and sinew bear paw snowshoes. She needs new bindings. What do you recommend?
Yep. Well, first of all, we can clear up a little misconception. They're wood and rawhide or babiche. They're not sinew.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really cool if they were, but you can't really get enough sinew to make a pair of snowshoes without, you know, getting a lot of caribou. So, but anyway, yeah. I like a binding called the Faber A3, Alpha 3 work binding. And we actually, I import them from Quebec because they're hard to find. I really like them a lot. They're really, really nice. They're full grain leather, so they're very durable. They fasten on very easily and have a buckle on the back, but they kind of tie like a shoe. I really like those a lot, and that's the ones I use on my own shoes. You can get stuff that's a little less expensive, but they're not that much less expensive, and they don't hold your foot in as well.
Okay, there we go. Diana and Spencer, your turn. Hi, Diana.
Hi.
What can we do for you today?
I'm kind of the same. I have a pair of the laced snowshoes, and I have trouble keeping them on my feet. And I'm wondering what kind of footwear you recommend with. Usually a pair of Tingleys, but they don't. I think I need something better.
Yep. So there's lots of things you can do. Just a pair of, if it's warm enough, you know, 20s and 30s, just a pair of good hiking boots.
Okay.
And then get a thing called a snow gaiter, which is basically clips around the top of your boot and goes up to your knees roughly and keeps the snow from going inside your boots because that's unpleasant.
Yeah.
Works just, I mean, regular old Sorels work fine. You know, you just have to make sure they're adjusted properly. I wear a shoe called a Muckluck, which is a native style shoe. It's a moose hide bottom with a canvas top, and they're like having a boot, moccasin, gaiter all combined into one thing.
Okay, it's fun to go out in the woods with them, but when they keep falling off my feet, that's not a happy thing to do, especially in your deep snow.
Yeah,
right. You step off and then go down to your knee. Yeah,
I've already been hung up.
Sure. But I would
Muckluck or a sorrel, something more of a not rubbery than something.
Rubbery boots work fine if the binding is right. But like bean boots, you know, with a rubber bottom and leather top, those work fine too.
Okay.
Sounds like it's a binding problem and not a shoe problem.
Yeah, and that could very well be. They're, I bought them up at the Duluth Trading Company up by Superior Duluth. Anyway, they're worn out. They're hard to fasten.
Yeah,
they go around my toe and then across in the back of the heel.
Oh, you have modified H bindings. Sorry.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah, they're kind of like those bar puzzles.
Yeah,
hard to figure it out.
Yeah. Where's Spencer?
Where is Spencer located?
Where is Spencer? Do you know where Marshfield?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I'm in Riplinger, but nobody knows where that is.
Oh, Riplinger, of course. Yeah. Right. Well, if you get over to Madison, just come by and I'll show you. You can bring the shoes. I'll even put them on for you if you want. Show you how to use them.
Show me how to put on my shoes.
Yeah, sure. I do that all the time.
I have a sister that lives in Middleton, so maybe I'll have to put that on my list of things to do.
Well,
sounds like a plan.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Lisa on Facebook reminds everybody to please stay on designated trails when skiing or snowshoeing. Skis and snowshoes, especially snowshoes, can do a lot of damage because they pack down the snow, ridding small mammals of the space they require to survive the cold winter months. And, of course, it does other damage. And it's just sort of inconvenient for the other folks who are out there. If you're on snowshoes, if they're on skis, can be a little bit of a pain. So good comment there.
Absolutely. And you can see little mouse, mice popping up in the snow. So, yeah, they're living down there in the grass and doing their mouse thing, yeah.
Jeff and Rhinelander asked if there's anything that can be done for cross-country skis that have curled from being stored on their heels.
I don't know what that means. Curled, like the back end's bent. Curled up or something. I have no idea.
I'm not quite sure. Maybe Jeff can call in.
Yeah.
Steve in Boulder Junction, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I've skied for a long time and always used waxable skis with solid ski wax, but now I see there's liquid ski wax, which is supposed to be much easier and more convenient, and it sounds good, but I'm wondering how it wears compared to the solid wax.
My opinion is that solid wax wears a little bit better. You can also vary how much you put on a little bit easier, but the liquid waxes work really well. The glide waxes are nice. I think it depends on how long you're going out. I mean, the guys that do the Berkey are putting on hard wax because they're going to be out there for 50-something kilometers, right? But just, you know, recreational skiing, I use the, like I said, the Dauber glide wax on my waxless skis just because it's easy. Put it on, wipe it, and done.
For a couple of hours on an afternoon, it would be fine?
It'd probably be fine, yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sonia in Madison next. Hi, Sonia.
Hi. I was just going to put in a suggestion for everybody who's been calling in and saying that they have old snowshoes and how do we get the new bindings. I used to teach cross-country skiing and snowshoeing to little kids at camps in northern Michigan, and they would constantly be falling out of the wooden snowshoes, and they were beautiful. Don't get me wrong. We had all sorts of the skill taken to make a cross-country or a snowshoe gorgeous. But when I finally got a job where I could afford new snowshoes and I tried the aluminum pairs, I felt like I was flying. And then with the metal claw underneath, or whatever it's called, to grip things, I could climb up places that I hadn't been able to climb up before, you know, halfway. I mean, it felt like I was climbing straight up. I know I wasn't, but it was just the most amazing thing to just not feel like I had any weight on my feet and I could climb anywhere. So my little recommendation from my experience is go buy a new pair of snowshoes. Modern technology. Now I also found a pair of wooden cross-country skis on the side of the road one day. Somebody was throwing them out, and I found a boss of mine was like, here, use this pine tar, use this. And I had never had wooden wax skis before. I just used the waxless ones. And that was awesome, too, because there wasn't anything stopping me, but really the amazing feel of light snowshoes. There's nothing to describe it.
I'll be the first to admit that my shoes are heavy. I mean, heavy-ish. I mean, you know, they're 3 pounds. They're ash. Ash is heavy, right? And the new modern shoes are lighter. And you're right, they can climb way better. So it really is kind of a preference. I have both. I use both. Depends on the situation I'm in. Part of the problem with the shoes falling off all the time is an improper binding. A lot of the places that teach and use youth use it's a Mac binding. It's like a rubber, like an inner tube, and you stick your toe in it and pull it over your heel. They work great for like snowshoes you use to get the mail, right? You throw mm-hmm. them on, throw them off, and walk, you know, 50 yards. But for long distances, they tend to not hold onto your foot very well.
Yeah, and with like a group of even just 10 kids, it was usually we had ones that were some kind of leather straps, and they were, you know, I had to take my gloves off to help the kids get back in the snowshoes, so we didn't get very far.
Yeah, those are the old H bindings as well. They work great if you put them on properly.
Right.
But people usually don't put them on properly. Plus, with kids, you got all sorts of different kinds of sizes and footwear, and you got to change the buckles. And so,
exactly. Yeah. So my bid, just for whatever company is out there, whatever you want to find, just try some aluminum snowshoes. They're awesome.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. She mentioned children and working with kids. Do you have advice for getting kids interested in either sport?
Yeah. For skiing, it's pretty simple. Don't use poles. You know, start them young and just let them shuffle around, let them play. The one thing you can do with any kid in any situation is try and make it make it work before it's play. So let them goof off, let them play. For snowshoes, just make sure the appropriate size, because if you think about it, if you put small adult shoes on a kid, it's like putting, you know, 6 foot, 8 foot, 10 foot shoes on you, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, they'll grow into them. It's like, well, you don't buy them an adult mountain bike and say they'll grow into it, right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. So smaller shoes, they do make kids' shoes. Make sure the snow is consolidated when they start. Don't put them in powder and expect them to have a good time. And then I use the same rule for snowshoeing as I use for paddling, is the amount of time you can spend with them outside doing the activity is 15 minutes per year old. So it works. It's worked very well. So a four-year-old can take about an hour, 45 mm-hmm. minutes before they get grumpy. So try that.
Yeah, I was thinking about Emily. I think I get her going at 6.
How old is she, 10?
She's 13.
Oh, I was going to say 10. Jeepers.
Yeah. And, you know, you're right about the amount of time. You just don't want to...
Right, you don't want to make it. Yeah, because if you overdo it once, they'll never want to do it again.
Yeah, and it wasn't too cold when we first took them out, right. And we took her out, and that made a big difference.
Well, and the other thing is, if you're taking them out on a walk, take one of those little plastic sleds behind you.
Yeah.
So if they get tired, you just plop them in that and drag them home.
Yeah. I never thought of that at the time. I wish I would have.
I probably did it wrong the first time, so that's how I learned.
Bob in Baraboo, thank you for calling.
Hi, I have a question about waxing skis.
Okay.
And the question I have is, I have both waxable and waxless skis, but I find that on my waxable skis, if I'm skiing in later winter, particularly in an oak forest, the oak leaves are always the last to fall, and the oak leaves stick to the skis, and you just about come to a grinding halt when you hit a patch of oak leaves. And I don't have that with my waxless skis. How do you prevent the leaves from sticking to the wax?
Mm-hmm. You don't. I mean, waxless skis work better in that situation. If there's a big wad of leaves, I mean, your wax might be a little too warm. Might be a wax that's a little stickier. Because usually the wax should be the right consistency for the temperature in. So if there's a warming trend and you're using a little bit warmer wax, you might stick a little bit more. It just depends on what. But yeah, when you go out, it's like rock skis. When you go out in the spring, take your waxless ones.
Okay.
All right.
That's kind of what I've been doing.
Yep. Well, you already answered your own question. You don't need me.
Thank you for calling. Darren, at Rutabaga, tell us what you've got there at Rutabaga for in the way of any of this silent sport?
Yeah, mostly modern shoes. Just because the traditional shoes are just more, I don't say boutique-y. You know, mm-hmm. they're just a little bit more personalized. So I make 4 different sizes and want to try and meet as best I can. Plus, they're really labor intensive. So trying to sell them retail just doesn't make any sense. But the modern shoes are much easier to make. Well, easier, quicker, easier to manufacture if you have the right equipment and all that stuff.
And so pretty much anything anybody would want in the way of cross-country skis or...
We actually don't do skis.
Huh.
We rent them, but we don't sell them. And part of it is just my personal philosophy is I don't want to sell things that we're not personally interested in a significant way. And we all ski, but none of us are like super hardcore skiers. But we all love snowshoeing. And one of my employees used to work for Crescent Moon. So he's very familiar with that product.
Well, I tell you what, it's always a pleasure to be able to talk with you, Darren. And we've got, it won't be long before we'll be talking about...
Canucopia. I think it's 92 days.
Oh, Not that you're counting.
But who's counting, right? Yeah.
90. So what are the dates for that?
11th through 13th of March.
11th through the 13th of March. Well, I'm sure you're going to be on before then. We'll talk some more about them. Thank you so much, Darren. Well,
thank you, Larry.
Darren Bush, our guest today. He is the, as we always call him, the chief paddling evangelist and is owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports and, of course, an avid winter sportsman. You know, when you're out cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, you get back in, you want something to drink. Maybe you have a craft soda. Maybe that's something that you're going to go to. We'll be talking about craft soda. As we like to say, it's popping up all over. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.